Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Charch is with us every Thursday in this spot at Paul Charchian on X on Twitter. Give him a follow. He is a world-renowned fantasy football expert with phenomenal podcasts called Fantasy Football Weekly and Chop. You can get those wherever you get your podcasts. Decent Thursday night game. You know, the Thursday night run that we are on here is amazing, especially with underdogs kind of winning outright. Yeah. You know, Flacco's performance last week, the Giants the week before that. It's been the week before that, the 49ers, remember, is a big underdog with all the injuries winning in L.A. We had the Seattle walk-off field goal. We've had good Thursday night football games this year. That's always been
really
a complaint, but the games have been great.
Yeah, and they don't always look like they're going to be great on paper and heading into them. As we're talking on Thursdays, we're kind of going to scrounge up some way to make it sound interesting. But at the end of the day, they've been good games, like you said, a bunch of upsets. And this one could be one-sided tonight. And maybe there's some Viking fatalist in me because I am a lifelong Viking fan and I embrace for bad things to happen. Maybe I'm going to turn out to be wrong on this, but Kevin, I don't like the Vikings here, and I think they're going to struggle in this matchup. There's a lot not to like, unfortunately.
I think I asked you this last week, but is there a lot of Vikings regret over not bringing Sam Darnold back?
Oh, God, yes. There's a lot in this town. And, you know, the funny thing is, mostly at the time, the Vikings were coming off these two bad games at the end of the year for the Vikings.
They had cost them a lot of money.
Listeners recall a lot. They had 14 wins rolling into the final regular season game against the Lions to see if they're going to be the one seed or the five seed in the NFC. And they needed a big game. The offensive line was terrible. Darnold took, I think, 9 sacks in one game.
It was ugly.
And It was brutal. And then in the playoff game, the subsequent playoff game, Darnold also very bad, and the offensive line was bad. But everybody blamed Darnold because he's the quarterback, right? Your quarterback's going to take the blame first and foremost. And so when there were a lot of people at that point that were just disgusted by the idea of bringing Darnold back, and you had this top 10 pick in J.J. McCarthy, and everybody wanted to see what he had going. So they decide to go with McCarthy. But as it turns out now, it looks like, and it's still early, we really don't know very much about McCarthy. But Kevin, this team had in the building, they had not only Sam Darnold, they had Daniel Jones. They are both MVP candidates right now. They also had Aaron Rodgers lobbying to come to the Vikings. He didn't want to go to the Steelers. He wanted to come to Minnesota, throw balls to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson. And the Vikings were not interested in him either, so they threaded the needle to get their way to J.J. McCarthy as their starting quarterback. And to this point, he's only been able to play through the year and a half he's been on roster for 8 quarters, 7 of which have been bad.
Yeah. Yeah, the only one that wasn't was the fourth quarter in the Monday night opener in Chicago.
Exactly.
You know, in some of these trade deadline NFL stories, because we're coming up on the trade deadline, I have seen a lot of, and I'm sure you have too, Kirk back to Minnesota. That's not going to happen, right? I don't think Atlanta's going to trade him. And I think they want to keep him because of Penix's potential, you know, health issues.
Yeah, although short-term health issues. I mean, Penix has a good chance of playing, although they don't need him.
Yeah, yeah, but he's had injury issues. You know, he had injury issues in college.
Yeah, that's true. But the real reason that trade's not happening is that Cousins is making $26.5 million dollars this year.
Right.
And so, you know, the Falcons would have to eat a ton of it to make that trade happen. And I don't think the Vikings organizationally have got the fortitude to bring in somebody who's going to already muddy the waters, because, you know, already there's rampant belief among Viking fans that this is a soft benching for J.J. McCarthy, because we were originally told his ankle sprain was at worst going to be 4 weeks. Now it looks like it's going to be a 6-week injury. And if you thought it was going to be 6 weeks, you would have put him on IR, and you probably would have had surgery on it day one after the injury and would have been back. So, you know, it's already a lot of drama and controversy, and Kirk would only magnify that.
So you think this is a rough night? I mean, look, the Chargers still have major O-line issues. They have really struggled to protect Herbert. They got run last week by the Colts. We're going to have to talk about the Colts here before this conversation is over. But you like, I mean, Carson Wentz, the numbers kind of don't tell the whole story from the Philadelphia game, do they?
Oh, he was awful. He was brutal, just spraying balls all over the field. Had a pick six against him. Missed a couple of easy touchdown throws. I mean, it was a regression for a quarterback who hadn't looked particularly good as a Viking, but he had looked just sort of quasi capable. But he gave that game away. It was a one touchdown game, and he left touchdowns on the field. And for tonight, part of the reason I believe Justin Herbert sitting on a good game. You mentioned the offensive line. They probably get Joe Alt back at tackle. That is a huge improvement for them. Vikings pass defense in particular got exposed last week. Now listen to the quarterbacks the Vikings have played leading into tonight's game. They went Caleb Williams into Michael Penix in his fifth ever start, Jake Browning, Aaron Rodgers, Dylan Gabriel. And on paper, the Vikings looked really good against those guys, like most teams would. Then last week, they faced their first proven passer, Jalen Hurts, and he toyed with the Vikings. He had a 4-incompletion game, 3 touchdowns, 326 yards. And, you know, it's one thing for Brian
Rodgers, by the way, I think had a 3-incompletion game in the Dublin game, wasn't it?
I believe you are correct about that.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So these veteran quarterbacks, it's one thing for Brian Flores to scramble the brains of Dylan Gabriel and Jake Browning with exotic pre-snap looks. But Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, that's a totally different story. Nothing that they haven't seen. So I'm nervous about the Vikings here, and I think Herbert's sitting on a really nice game.
By the way, are people in Minnesota, you know, would they have wanted Dan? Was there any talk about retaining Daniel Jones? No. J.J. McCarthy was always the play.
Yeah, he was always the play. There were people really, really, including me, really wanted Daniel Jones to accept being a backup in Minnesota because this would have been a primo backup spot. If J.J. didn't work out, you get to play with Kevin O'Connell and he had. I mean, here's Daniel Jones as recently as 2 weeks ago saying the reason he's playing so well in Indy is because of Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota and the half season he spent here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, you know, the hope was that he would stay as the emergency fallback, but obviously Daniel Jones did the right thing getting himself back on the field in Indy, and it's the best story of the year.
So you like Justin Herbert tonight? I would assume that by extension, Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey are starters as well.
The sneaky play is Quentin Johnston. And by the way, for the bettors out there listening, it's over 41.5 yards as anytime touchdowns plus 170. Here's why. He is a physically imposing receiver, of which there are only a handful of comparables in the league. He's 6'3". He's 215 pounds. He wins contested catches. He boxes out small defenders. The Vikings have only faced two similarly built receivers to Quentin Johnston. DK
AJ
Metcalf,
Brown.
120, and A.J. Brown. Metcalf, 126 yards and a touchdown. A.J. Brown last week, 121 yards and two touchdowns. The Vikings have these two small cornerbacks, Byron Murphy, 5'11", 190. Isaiah Rodgers, 5'10", 170 pounds. I mean, Johnson can just, he can just out-duel those guys.
As long as he can catch the balls that are thrown to him.
Well, there's that, because he is the league's premier ball dropper, and he dropped two. He was only charged with one. I thought he dropped two last week. But overall this year, he's been much better.
He has been, you're right. He fumbled. Yeah. There was the turning point in the Washington game, because they Washington's defense, which might be right there with Dallas's, is the worst in the league. They gave up a big chunk play, and he got popped, and he fumbled, and it turned the game around completely, because they were getting their ass kicked early in that game against the Chargers. We're talking to Charge. All right, so let's move to Sunday, and we'll end with Monday night. But just tell me, you know, kind of your overall reaction to what the Colts are doing. Do you think they're a legit Super Bowl threat? And then from a fantasy perspective, there are a lot of options, obviously, on that team.
Yeah, a lot of options. Shocking. I mean, I can't believe we're talking about the Colts as a team with a plethora of fantasy options. But keep in mind, one of the big things that they got right, not only signing Daniel Jones, and oh, by the way, can we rewind to early August when everybody said it was premature to announce Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback over Anthony Richardson?
Right.
It was like, oh, how can you already say that Anthony Richardson isn't good enough to start over Daniel Jones? Oh, all that hand-wringing. That was absurd. Jonathan Taylor is in the middle of having what could be a 2,000-yard rushing season. And, man, did they hit the jackpot in the draft with Tyler Warren.
I couldn't believe Loveland got picked before him. I mean, Warren, by the way, can throw the ball. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. But he's headed towards offensive rookie of the year, right? I think so. He's got to be the favorite.
Absolutely in play. He has been the single most consistent offensive rookie out of everybody. You know, we thought Ashton Genty was going to run away with it. He is a non-factor. Tyler Warren has been great. They're getting Michael Pittman's resurgent. Josh Downs hurt right now, but he had been playing well. Just, you know, the guy that you feel best about, and I think you and I may have alluded to this, it's Shane Steichen. I mean, that dude was walking the plank. He was the odds-on favorite. He was either one or two entering the season, be first coach fired. Now, he looks like a shoo-in for coach of the year. It just goes to show you, if you, you know, you can be a very good coach laboring under bad quarterbacking, and it reflects badly on you. There's just only so much a coach can do when you have bad quarterbacking.
Yeah, I was listening to Flacco last night, who just is everything about him I like. And he was on a podcast with Fitzpatrick, and he said they asked him about Indy because he was there last year, and he said the reason I went to Indy last year was Shane Steichen. He just said he's so impressive. He absolutely knows what he's doing, and we're seeing that this year with the Colts. I mean, look, I think Kansas City right now is the odds-on favorite to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I think they're just healthy, and they're just going to be – I think they're on the verge of taking off. But the Colts probably have the best chance of getting the one seed. And so it actually – the AFC could actually go through Indy in terms of where you'd have to win, because you just look at what they have the rest of the year. There are a couple of games. They play the Chiefs, by the way, in late November. But Indy's legit. Look at their plus-minus on points. They move the football and score against everybody, Charge.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, the offense has been amazing. Defense is starting to show some cracks right now, but they've also got some injuries. Hopefully they get some guys back. But the schedule for them is they look like they're going to be favored in pretty much every remaining game except at Kansas City that you mentioned. I think they'll be favorites everywhere. Sneaky tough game coming up against Atlanta in a couple of weeks, but Indy looks
they
really
got
good.
Pittsburgh on the road too. Yeah. That's not going to be easy, but yeah.
I don't think so. Can we go back to the Joe Flacco podcast for just a second?
Sure.
In that, he talked about how he used to go into a restaurant or a bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was his press conference yesterday, yeah.
That was the press conference. Single guy at the bar drinking a beer by himself, eating a burger.
We have that sound. We have that sound. Max, fire that sound bite from Flacco in his press conference yesterday. Keep in mind, the setup for this is Joe Flacco playing in Cincinnati. He's got kids. I think he's got four of them and mm-hmm. a wife, and he's away from them. They're back. He didn't take them to Cincinnati because it's a midseason move. So, you know, he's by himself on the road in Cincinnati, living there, and he had this to say in his press conference yesterday.
Being a dad.
Well, this is happening. The good thing, I guess you could say, is that I was in Cleveland by myself. You know, my family was in New Jersey. We decided to do that this year because last year we decided to do it the other way, and this year we just said, hey, let's keep the kids in their routine and, you know, see how that goes. And there's been challenges with that. You know, I love being there and around them and doing all those things. But at the same time, like, they get in their routine, and they're having a lot of fun back at home. And early on in the season, they came out to Cleveland, and they're going to come out to this week's game. And I think there's always a challenge of sitting in a room by yourself and being lonely. So for me, it's trying to find ways to maybe stay over here a little bit longer and then, you know, just kind of take myself out of that mindset, call home, go sit at a restaurant by myself and realize that, man, that's pretty enjoyable to do. you know, after there's not too many situations, I tell people all the time, I mean, I used to see guys sitting at a bar by themselves or, you know, just sitting by themselves eating and grabbing a little meal. And I'm like, man, I feel so bad for that guy. Like, you almost want to go join him. And now I realize, like, that dude was in heaven.
Yeah, and you can cut it from there. I've listened to it a million times. That's the money bite right there. Any parent can relate to that. I remember when my kids were young, and it's like, you know, my wife's taking them up to the beach to see my in-laws, and I, you know, I can't go, and it's like, oh my God, it's like a vacation being at home alone. Yeah, he's something else, man. He's one of the most likable guys, and has been that way in every locker room that he's been in, and he was phenomenal last week. Phenomenal.
He was. And another situation. You can be a good coach in labor when you don't have the good quarterback. You know, just functional quarterbacking. How much did Joe Flacco help that team over what Jake Browning had been giving them? It was, you know, all you had to do was get functional quarterbacking. And if I'm Flacco, I'd have done exactly what he did. And I would just say, where's Ja'Marr Chase? Here comes the ball. Chase, 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 chase.
23 targets. Right? Five drop passes in the game, too, and he threw for 342. I said, Charge, I came in here Friday morning, and I said, you know, and you and I are very similar in this way because we love the NFL, and we've watched it our entire lives. We remember so much about it. I said, that was one of the most enjoyable games to watch. I don't know if you can see, if you'll see a game in which two quarterbacks use their brain to play at an elite level for 60 minutes the way Flacco and Rodgers went back and forth at each other. And they're over, you know, when they're 40 and 41 years old. And it was just so entertaining and such a pleasure to watch quarterbacking at that level last week. It was amazing.
It really was. And, you know, if you go back to Cleveland, you know, we talked about this last week when we were getting ready for Thursday. Why would Cleveland have made this trade? I mean, they...
Well, because they're punting on the season.
But are they? I don't know. They just went out and slaughtered Miami. Now, granted, beating Miami isn't a big deal, but...
But they weren't going to. They were going to play Gabriel the rest of the way, or Shadur. We'll see how that plays out. But Flacco just he wasn't going to play for them, and they were terrible offensively with him.
Okay,
trade
him in the division, though.
Well, I mean, Tomlin didn't like it. That was for sure.
No.
He didn't like it at all. All right, let's go to Sunday. Give me the things that you're looking at and that are most interesting with the board on Sunday.
Well, a couple of things. Bo Nix just posted the highest scoring fantasy game of any quarterback all year last week.
Wow.
Almost all of it in the fourth quarter. I had four touchdowns, two passing, two rushing. And here comes Dallas. Think about how implausible this is, Kevin. For one team to rank last in all of these categories against an opposing quarterback. Most passing yards allowed, most passing touchdowns allowed, most opposing quarterback rushing attempts, most opposing quarterback rushing yards, and the most quarterback rushing touchdowns allowed. That's the Dallas defense. The two best offenses in the NFL statistically are Dallas and whoever is playing Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish we had had more offense last week. We just had a shell of the team out there. So you really love everybody, Nix, Dobbins, Sutton, all of them for Denver Sunday.
And the plays, if you're one of the people suffering from the six teams on bye, the bipocalypse for this 2025 season is this week. Check Troy Franklin and Marvin Mims and their availability in your league. Franklin is the preferred guy because he's on the field a little more, but both he and Mims, great matchups, running primarily from the outside against Dallas. You know, this is you guys already know Dallas secondary obviously horrible. So, that's your sneaky bye week plays right there, Franklin and Mims.
Tell me about what Ben Johnson's getting done with DeAndre Swift and the other back they have, Roschon Johnson.
Kyle Manungai.
Number 25. Yeah.
Yes. So, I'll mention this. Swift has got a groin injury at the moment. We believe he's going to go. But last week, Kyle Manungai, 15 touches last week, almost out of nowhere. He'd been getting like five touches a game. He goes to 15, and he looked really good. And actually, Swift has looked a way better as well lately. Ben Johnson's offense seems to be hitting its stride. Defense is getting better. But more on a groin injury side, I see Manungai and Swift turning into Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery for Ben Johnson. He's rebuilding the two backs that he had with the Lions, now for the Bears. Manungai had a career-high 39% rush share against the Saints last week. He's got Baltimore coming up. Their run defense has been terrible this year. So there's, he could be building another Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery there. And Kyle Manungai, probably already rostered in your fantasy league if they're paying attention. If not, be sure to go get him too.
You want to hear something interesting about Kyle Manungai. He was a seventh-round pick out of Rutgers this past April. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt was a seventh-rounder as well. And because, over the summer, a lot of our fans are like, this dude's going to be, the next Emmitt Smith. We tend to jump to pretty big conclusions before they've played games yet around here. But I went back and I looked at the last 10 years of seventh-round running backs, and only one charge. Only one drafted in the seventh round over the last 10 drafts entering this year's draft has been a meaningful contributor. Isaiah Pacheco.
I know who it is.
Yep, Isaiah Pacheco.
Also Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and Pacheco is, you know, it almost never works out for seventh rounders. And I believe, you know, fantasy guys have looked into this a lot. The tier on which you can where the fall off happens about round five, where guys after round five are very unlikely to make a meaningful impact. But Pacheco has been that guy. Now, Pacheco's looked terrible for most of the season, but it's changed the last couple of weeks. And I think it may have, maybe it's just last year's injury took until now, but Pacheco's ramping back up and he is a good buy low candidate right now. Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt's dinged up and he's been terrible.
I think part of it too is getting Xavier Worthy back and now Rashee Rice. Now you can't load the box against Kansas City. They've got receivers. All right, let's finish up with that. First of all, have you ever seen a box score like Chiefs over Raiders Sunday? Have you looked at it?
Yeah, well, the Raiders ran the third fewest plays since in the Super Bowl era, right?
30 offensive snaps in the game, three first downs, and 95 total yards.
Oh, unbelievable ineptitude.
Unbelievable. It's an all-time 30 first downs to 3, 434 yards to 95. The Chiefs also gave up. The fourth quarter, they ran the clock out. I mean, it was like a running clock situation, like it was a CYO game. But with that said, let's go to Monday night real quickly. Washington's defense, I don't care what your numbers say, it is horrific right now, and they just lost maybe their best defensive player this season in Dorrance Armstrong. So if Mahomes and Worthy and Rice and Pacheco aren't high on your list, they should be. I don't know how we keep them under 35.
Mahomes, my number one ranked quarterback for this week. Rashee Rice is sitting at wide receiver 3. This is and Rice, you know, hit the ground running literally, and he looked. You know, he looks so natural in that offense, and he's so good after the catch. Rice is just a beast. You know, they love throwing to him over the middle of the field where he's got this run. He'll line up in the slot. He'll slant into the middle of the field. Here comes a laser from Mahomes, and Rashee Rice is just so big. He just beats guys down. I love Rice in this matchup, and it's going to be a long day for your squad, I believe. Who's playing quarterback on Monday?
Marcus Mariota. Jaden's out
done
for
deal.
Monday night.
It's a done deal. Okay, so it's not just rumor, that's fact. Okay, well.
Yeah, fair point. It was reported by, you know, Rappaport initially, so you take that. Okay. We've not heard from Quinn definitively on it. I don't think so, but a lot of our local guys sort of confirmed it, I think, with the team. And so we'll hear it officially in about 30 minutes or so from Dan Quinn. All right, man. Always great. Appreciate it.
Love it. We'll talk to you next week. Bye, Kevin.
All right. Paul Charchian, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.